Ready, down, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Jason, before we get down to brass tacks, Chewy has made a declaration that I need you to weigh in on.
Oh, no.
No, it's a good one, Jason.
He is ranking the ingredients of sandwiches. So I think that the meat is the most important thing. If the meat is bad or the main ingredient is bad, sandwich has no chance. Chewy thinks it's the bread, but he also is campaigning for the sauce or the condiment or whatever that looks like for your sandwich. Oh. What say you, if you had to rank these ingredients, the main, the bread, the condiments, and I keep saying the cheese is important. Chewy has dismissed the cheese outright, but how would you rank those ingredients when building the perfect sandwich?
This is amazing because I get to both agree and disagree with Chewy at the same time, which I don't know if I've ever done that before. There's been plenty of times where I've disagreed with him, and then occasions where I've agreed with him, but now I get to do both because, as the great American orator, I believe it was Vincent Price, when he was doing the commercials for them in my youth growing up in Milwaukee, as Cousins has taught us, better bread, better subs, Cousin subs.
Yes.
It is unquestionably bread number one.
That's what I said.
Not
as
even
well.
Close. Yes. Now, where you screwed up there, big fella, I don't put condiments on my sandwiches. I don't want mayo. I don't want ranch. I don't want mustard. I don't want any of that. One of my biggest pet peeves in my life, which is an indicator of what a great life I've been fortunate enough to lead, is when a group, like when Sydney has a volleyball tournament or Maddie is in a gymnastics meet and they have pre-made sandwiches at the concession stand and they have mayo on them. Mayo condiment packages, very easy to have in a little bucket. Don't put the mayo on the sandwich. Not everyone likes the sandwich. And by the way, Lambeau Field, sports writers should not complain about free food, but I'm going to. Don't put mayo on your sandwiches. Just have a little area of mayo packets. Now, Jennifer, first of all, I would have pegged you for some sort of vegetarian, given how healthy you are.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know you're detoxing in your sauna that I just heard. You have that little bottle of, I'm sure, delicious tasting, whatever that is, with cayenne pepper and
ginger
juice,
yeah,
or whatever,
ginger
shots. Yeah, whatever that
yeah.
is. So I live with two vegetarians and one chicken tendertarian. Sydney, that's the only meat she eats are chicken tenders. So I am the only one who's a meat eater on my sandwiches. And you're right. If you get a bad batch of that, it's game over. But I think the bread is the crucial piece, and you can deal with a B-plus meat or a B-plus cheese. But if you get like a dried-out bread or a crumbly, gross bread or a soggy bread,
yeah,
I'm sorry, it's game over on your sandwich.
I just don't think there's that much variance in the bread, you guys.
I forgot that
here, man.
I forgot that about Jason, but Jason, I'm going to tell you something here, and we both know the place, and I have never had a sub in my life that was better, because I love tuna, than Sammy's. But the thing
Wait, the pizza place?
Yes. Sammy's Tuna Sub.
You got a sandwich at a pizza place?
Yeah,
Jason,
you lost
this
me there,
tuna
bud.
Sub is toasted, and what they do is they put Italian dressing on it, and it separates from everyone else. I have never had a tuna sub like that. Sammy's is the best. Every time I go up there, which is not very often, I stop in there and get it. But it's the Italian dressing on the tuna that makes it special. That's all I'm saying.
Are you coming for the draft?
I don't know yet. We're kind of negotiating that out. And
all right.
The
station
station is not winning right now.
Jason's about to sweeten the pot.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth, Jen. I will take you to Sammy's, and I will try no Italian dressing because I don't want condiments on my sandwich.
Okay.
But I will take you to Sammy's. I will treat to your tuna sub at a pizza joint if you come up for the draft.
All right, that might sweeten the deal. That might sweeten the deal. I love Jason.
That's a no. I got more work to do. All right.
Might get it done.
All right, question, Jason. We all know about cornerback, defensive end, and receiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this offensive line deep enough?
No.
I mean, from what we saw in that playoff game, those guys are not good. And I'm sure you'll agree with me, for a team to make it through almost the entire season with the same five is unheard of. Would you say that's number four spot that needs to be reloaded?
Undeniably. So I'm really glad you brought this up because I was going to ask Tausch about it today on our show too. So this is a perfect kind of get my thoughts in order opportunity here, which you guys are great about for me, by the way. So first of all, in fairness to Travis Glover and, as I like to call him, Telly Monster, Kadeem Telfort, those guys played like a combined 20 snaps all year. Right. And now they're thrown into a playoff game against the defensive front, which as we saw for the Kansas City Chiefs is the best in the league. Right. So the fact that they weren't good enough, not overly surprised. But the Packers lived on the edge all year long once they had to shut down Jordan Morgan because of his shoulder injury and needing surgery. First-round pick. And look, you did it, right? You played with John Michaels as a rookie. He clearly wasn't good enough. I think he's going on the tailgate tour if I saw that. I'd love to catch up with him because he was such a nice guy.
He's a doctor now, Jason. Did you?
He is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did know that. Hopefully a proctologist. No. So the ass man. So I think that exposed their lack of depth after Jordan Morgan went down and had surgery. But the fact of the matter is that was lurking beneath the surface the entire time. And to your point that you just made, I remember the 2014 season, which. You know, there's a million reasons why it's disappointing that they didn't get to the Super Bowl that year, but one of them was how incredibly healthy they were. If you remember that season, and Brian Bulaga can attest to this, they had one starter on the offensive line miss one game. That was Bulaga in week 2 after they opened and got their tails kicked in Seattle. And then in week 2, he missed the Jets game. And then their starting five, the whole group, right? Linsley at center and Bakhtiari, and the whole gang started and finished every game. And when you have that and you don't take advantage of it to go to a Super Bowl, because that is incredibly rare. There have been seasons under LaFleur where they started like 13 different offensive line combinations. And they didn't have to do that this year. But the game to end the season exposed their lack of depth and how unprepared the guys that were the backups. And this is where Bruce Wilkerson comes into relevance, is having those type of offensive linemen who, yes, they're older, but you don't want them to be playing 14 games, right? You want them to play 3 games when a guy's out with an MCL. And they just, that is not something that Goody believes in. Do they win that game if they have a suitable sixth man to go in for Elgton Jenkins? I don't know. It was 16-10 in the fourth quarter, and they had turned the ball over three of the four times they would do it in that game. It's in spite of the fact that they could not stop the Eagles' defensive line. So, again, games come down to so many different things, but that is undeniably one of them. And I shouldn't call it a sneaky need because it ain't sneaky. It's there.
Jason, there's an article that came out on ESPN.com yesterday sort of saying where each team ranks on these tiers. Green Bay Packers were seventh overall on these tiers, and their tier was need a postseason breakthrough. I don't think any of us disagree with that, the idea of going out and getting a player to amplify and add to either side of the ball. But I'm going to tell you what jumped out to me as I'm looking over it. We made a lot of the Packers age this past year. We made a lot of them being the youngest team in the league for the second year in a row. According to this ESPN.com article, the average age of the roster was 25.5. So I said, let me see how that compares to the other teams that finished ahead of the Packers or that they are projecting to be ahead of the Packers. 26.5 for the Detroit Lions, 27.1 for the Bills, 26.8 for the Baltimore Ravens, 26.6 for the Philadelphia Eagles, and 26.4 for the Kansas City Chiefs. Why does it feel like 1 year average is not that big of a gap? Why did I, in my mind, think that they were so significantly younger than all of these other teams and that that was a justifiable explanation for some of their struggles when 1 year is separating them from the teams that finished the season ahead of them?
Yeah, because it's a crappy metric. It's a fun metric, and it's fun to say, right? But as Aaliyah taught us many years ago, RIP, age ain't nothing but a number.
Thank you.
Right? And Goody even said that in his postseason press conference. And I would argue this. It's not so much – I would love, and I don't frankly have time right now to do this, but I would love for ESPN Analytics to go through and do it based on average number of starts or based on snaps played. Because as Goody pointed out, they may be young, but they're not inexperienced. Like, they have played all these guys so stinking much, other than obviously Travis Glover and Kadeem Telford. But, like, all these guys have played a you-know-what load of snaps. Like, that 2022 class, think about that draft class. They just finished their third NFL seasons. Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson before the ACL injury, Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, those guys are all full-time starters for you. So let's not pretend that after three NFL seasons, it doesn't matter that those guys are 23 or 24, right? They are full-fledged NFL players. And one of the arguments to be made about that class and the 2023 class for sure, especially Wicks and Reed, although I would argue that Wicks, after dropping them like it's hot, if I'm going to keep bringing up 80s and 90s music, I thought he really leveled out in the second half of the season and was pretty good, where Reed kept dropping balls and never seemed to regain his footing after that, you know, mid-season being forgotten in the offense. But, like, that group didn't make that. Chewy knows this better than anyone. The year two jump is real. And that group has to make a bigger jump, and it didn't. And now they've got to make a year three jump. And the rookie class from last year, we're excited about Evan Williams. We're excited about Edgerrin Cooper. We're excited about Javon Bullard, all those guys on defense. Those guys need to make a big jump because the age is a factor. I'm not saying it's not, but it's not nearly as big of a factor as trotting out they're the youngest team in the league 2 years running, because all it takes is keeping three guys that are, you know, 33 and 34, like, add Devontae to this team, and that is going to change the math, right? Add a veteran tackle, and those are only two players, but that's why it's so important, and I think that's why the stat, if you look at it through that lens, means something, because to me, it doesn't just say, hey, they got a lot of young players on the team. It also says to me, they don't have veterans who are driving up that age average by being critical backups who get you through a couple games when you're missing a key piece.
Jason, if they're going to cut or trade Jair, when will that happen? Is there a bonus involved?
Yeah, that's a great question. I haven't looked at his contract lately. I haven't been thinking about him, but I definitely need to. I don't think that there is a, like, we got to do it by this date bonus, but I'll look that up and I'll text Jen to confirm it. But look, he's, you know, I just think the behavior that we have seen from players would indicate to me that they all know that he's gone too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Keyshawn Nixon, who was one of Jair's best friends on the team, saying that he's ready to be CB1. If there was any question about him coming back when one of his best friends is laying claim to his job, I think mm-hmm. that tells you that it's a pretty foregone
yeah.
conclusion.
Jason, I could talk to you for another hour if they allowed me to, but alas, they do not. Have a great one. We'll all be listening to Wildy and Tausch this afternoon to hear your brilliant insights.
Phrases Paula has never said for 200, Alex. all right, guys. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wildy. Listen to him on Wildy and Tausch and a myriad of other programs right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Okay, we'll take a break. Sounds like Jason and Chu are in alignment on this whole sandwich debacle. Wonderful. What say you? We put it on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. Go ahead and rank those ingredients for the sandwich. Bread, meat, condiments. How do they rank? Chewy is saying the sauce is more important than the meat. Wow. And we have Marty Ronsky coming up in the second hour of the show to talk about your Milwaukee Brewers. So much stuff to get to today. Stick around.